Grace and Lenten peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. This morning we consider the Word of God as we find it in the Gospel of St. John, beginning with the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 27, as follows. Jesus said, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. So far, the Holy Word. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who was lifted up from the earth, that where he is, there we may be also, dear fellow redeemed. Magnets are funny things. They both repel and attract. That is, they are capable both of powerfully drawing things to themselves, but also in other cases, such as the case of another magnet of opposite polarity, of powerfully pushing things away. You may never have thought of the cross as a magnet. And yet, there is something about our Lord's elevation upon the cross. And beyond that, his elevation to the right hand of his heavenly Father, there's something there that exerts a tremendous magnetic pull in people's lives. Now, if only that were the only thing pulling people, that would be wonderful. But there are many other forces affecting us as well, not all of them good. Maybe you've felt yourself being pulled in many different directions in your life recently. Perhaps you've felt as if the attraction of the cross in your life has become less forceful recently. If you worry about the possibility that your plan for your life and God's plan for your life might be drifting in different directions, then today's text is going to be good news for you. Our theme for this morning is a simple one. The cross is a mighty magnet. It has power to overcome every other attraction, and it has power to draw us with our Savior into glory. The events of our text find Jesus with his disciples in Jerusalem. It is Tuesday of Holy Week. The city itself has become something of a magnet because the great Jewish festival of the Passover is about to begin. There are throngs of devout pilgrims and visitors who have traveled from every corner of the civilized world to be in Jerusalem at this time. Among them are certain Greeks who have asked to be introduced to Jesus. Evidently, they've heard of his teachings and they're attracted to him. They want to find out more. So Philip and Andrew introduce them to Jesus, and Jesus begins to speak. He speaks about his mission on earth. He speaks about the glory of his heavenly Father. He speaks of how Satan would be cast out and his power over men destroyed. But one thing in particular, Jesus says, is troubling to these visitors. "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." These people were drawn to Jesus. Unfortunately, they also had other forces drawing them in a different direction, and one of those forces was skepticism. They were skeptical that Jesus was the Son of God. They were skeptical about his deity. And they were especially skeptical about what Jesus had said about his manner of death, because Jesus never made any secret of the fact that he would die a shameful death, lifted up on a criminal's cross. And that offended them. "We have heard from the law," they said, "that the Christ remains forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up?" A little while later in this chapter, we hear about other people who were attracted to Jesus at first, but in the end were repelled by another very powerful force that we're all familiar with, peer pressure. "Even among the rulers," the Bible says, "many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." How many of those people do you think kept silent when Jesus was unjustly condemned? How many of them were eventually persuaded to lend their voices to the raucous cries that shouted that bloodthirsty phrase, "Crucify him, crucify him"? But don't forget, the cross is a mighty magnet. It has the power to overcome every other attraction. And it did, didn't it? On the cross of Calvary at Good Friday, there were a few disciples who overcame their fear and were drawn back to Jesus' cross. On the mountaintop at Ascension Day, more disciples were drawn to Jesus as he was lifted up from them and returned back to his heavenly Father. In Jerusalem on Pentecost, the ascended Lord Jesus continued to draw all people to himself as more than 3,000 souls came to faith and were saved. The cross is a mighty magnet and a powerful message. The disciples became witnesses in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The message of the cross continued to spread and grow. Over the centuries, it grew even more. And now, in our world of today, there are over 3 billion people who claim the name Christian. One-third of the people on the surface of the earth claim the name Christian. Clearly, the cross is a magnet that has the power to overcome every other attraction. And that's a really good thing, isn't it? Because there are a lot of other attractions vying for our attention in this life, aren't there? If you're complacently thinking that the cross is the only magnet in your life, then you haven't been paying attention. There are so many forces pulling us in other directions. Forces that, at best, are distractions from the cross, and at worst, may be pulling us directly away from our devotion to our Savior and his cross. Money and possessions, of course, are a magnet that frequently compete with the cross for our devotion. The Apostle Paul said, "The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness." As we saw above, peer pressure is also a powerful attractant force that can draw us away from the cross of Christ. So can pride, so can lust, so can the power of pleasure, the desire for sinful pleasures. Your own human reason can be a magnet drawing you from Christ. When you insist that your ideas and your opinions and the things you feel in your heart are more important to you than what God says in his word, then yes, your human reason can be a powerful magnet that draws you away from your Savior's cross. And the really sad thing is, sometimes we don't even fight against those attractions very hard. It frightens me when I see Christians toying with the strong and dangerous power of sin in their life, forces that they know stand in direct opposition to the cross. It calls to mind the moment when a mighty meteor, for instance, just is passing by the earth and begins to come under the influence of the earth's gravity. Here's this huge rock weighing perhaps hundreds of thousands of tons hurtling through space, and then the first frail fingers of earth's gravity reach out and almost imperceptibly begin to influence it with just a few ounces of force. Time passes, the rock comes closer, gravity gets a little stronger, and if you've ever seen a shooting star, you know how that story ends. Before long, the meteor is a burning cinder of destruction hurtling brightly across the sky in its death throes. That's what scares me when I see people toying with sin in their lives. They are voluntarily bringing themselves under the sway of these other influences, influences that are exerting their own magnetism, drawing them subtly and inexorably away from the cross of their Savior. And make no mistake, people do have that dark power, the power to pull away from their Savior and his cross. Eventually, there comes a time when they can't get back, and they don't want to get back. They've been hardened in their sin and unbelief, and the cross no longer draws them. And from that point forward, the cross only repels them. My fellow Christians, I warn you, do not allow the influences of sin to grow and flourish in your life. Repent of every sin, every day. Don't allow anything to even start pulling you away from the cross. Bear in mind the chilling warning spoken to Christians by the writer to the Hebrews. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Yes, certainly, magnets can repel as well as attract, and sometimes repel quite strongly. In the year 1999, scientists in Japan developed a train that can travel 343 miles an hour. It's called the Maglev for short, which stands for magnetic levitation. Powerful magnets embedded in the top of the track and equally powerful magnets of opposite polarity in the bottom of the train cause the train to float on a magnetic field some 4 inches above the track. And that's how the train glides down it along the track at such high speeds. It also illustrates the powerful repelling action that magnets can have. The cross is the same way. It is a powerful attracting force. Scripture says God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. But there are also many, many people who are powerfully repelled by the cross of Christ, who harden their hearts against their Savior and find the message of the cross to be foolishness and repellent. When they finally turn their back on their Savior for good, they'll find it easy to glide down that track toward the inevitable eternal destruction that awaits those who have rejected Christ. For the preaching of the cross, Scripture says, is foolishness to them that perish. But unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Thank the Lord. To us who are being saved, this is the power of God unto salvation. It's the most attractive power of all. What's the most attractive power of all? In the year 2010, University of Florida scientists constructed an electromagnet that holds the record to this day for being the most powerful magnet and sustaining the most powerful magnetic field in history. Hard to really take in its power, but at roughly 100 Tesla, it generates almost a million times the magnetic field of the Earth itself. An attractive force of that power can scarcely be imagined. There's only one force stronger, and that's the miraculous, life-changing force, the attractant force exerted by the cross of our Savior. The cross is a mighty magnet. In the second place, because it has the power to draw us with our Savior to glory. Jesus said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." You may recall 2 days later in the upper room in Jerusalem, Jesus said to his disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." How can you begin to measure the magnetic power of this force? A force that can take wretched, sin-laden creatures like you and me and draw us away from hell. How can you gauge the power that can take pathetic, morally bankrupt people like us and pull us straight through the gates of heaven and into the mansions of everlasting glory? That's the power of our Savior's cross. When he was lifted up on that cross, Jesus paid the price for each one of your sins. He paid to have each of the iniquities of which you're guilty stricken from God's book, and to have your name written rather in God's book of life. He took all your guilt, all your sin upon himself, and there on that cross atoned for every bit. Well might it bring tears to our eyes as we survey that wondrous cross. And not only tears of godly repentance over our sins, which is certainly appropriate, especially in the season of Lent. No, we blessed creatures can shed tears of joy and pure relief that Christ has drawn us from the pit of hell and delivered us to eternal glory. With startled wonder again this Lenten season, we glimpse the true depths of God's love for us. Love that would lead him to sacrifice his only son so you and I can live. Delivered from eternal death, safe from sin's punishment, with what delight now we can hear again words such as those of the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, who said, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." How blessed are we who have been drawn to the Savior. This is the magnet of God's grace, the mighty magnet of the cross. What a delight and a privilege it is for us to sing with the hymnist, "Drawn to the cross which thou hast blessed, with healing gifts for souls distressed, to find in thee my life, my rest. Christ crucified I come." Now Jesus, of course, is our ascended Lord, lifted up for once and for all to the right hand of the majesty of his Father in heaven. From there he governs all things for the benefit of his church. From there he continues to draw all men unto himself. Through the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament, our Lord continues to attract more people into his kingdom of grace. This he predicted in such a comforting manner in the 6th chapter of John. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." Come to your Lord Jesus. Forsake your sins and cling to the cross. Let that blessed cross on which the Prince of Glory died draw you. Draw you to grace, draw you to forgiveness, and draw you finally to everlasting glory in the presence of your Lord himself. Magnets are funny things. Maybe you remember how fascinated you were as a kid, pulling magnets out of old speakers and playing with horseshoe magnets in science class and rubbing a nail with a magnet so that the nail itself would become a magnet. If you're like me, maybe you still find yourself absentmindedly toying with the magnets on the refrigerator door. Suppose we incorporate that into our Lenten meditation this year. How about if every time you see a magnet, you think of the cross and meditate for just a moment on how blessed you are to have been drawn to the cross of your Savior. The cross is a mighty magnet. It has the power to overcome every other attraction, and it has the power to draw us with our Savior to glory. May the magnet of the cross once again draw our hearts and minds heavenward this Lenten season. Amen. Please rise.